Praise the Lord. I trust you're ready for the word here tonight. Amen. I'm excited. It's an honor for me to be able to minister the word of God. I'll tell you, there's no higher thrill and privilege and honor than for me to be able to stand up here and minister his word. I'm telling you, I absolutely love it. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord, and I just trust you're hungry here tonight. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Amen. How you show up and connect your faith determines the outcome of it. You remember the woman with the issue of blood. She said that if I could but touch the hem of the garment, I shall be made whole. And so she pressed through the crowd to touch the garment or the hem of Jesus' garment. Thousands of people that day were pressing in on him. She touched the hem of his garment, and virtue left his body and entered her, and she was whole. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Everybody touched you." What do you mean? There's thousands of people here. But one showed up in faith, and he turned to her and he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." In other words, how you showed up here is what made you whole. All these other people showed up different than how you showed up. And because you showed up in faith, virtue left Jesus and made her whole. He didn't say, because I'm the Son of God, and because God is random, this is your lottery number for tonight, and you were the one that was chosen. No, she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garments, and then she put action to what she said. And that's exactly how faith without works is dead. So she said it. And not only did she say it, she started putting one foot in front of the other. At a cost to her, because of her unclean condition, that would have cost her her life. Because she was unclean and needed to be separated. So you don't understand the hurdles she had to jump through to get to Jesus. I'm telling you, one nice day outside keeps many people from getting to Jesus. Because someone might have had a bad day, they'll stay home from their appointment with Jesus. Here, this woman, it would have cost her her life, and she found Jesus. So my excuse for not being here is eliminated here tonight. But you guys made the right choice because you are here, and it's a beautiful night. So I just trust you showed up bringing your faith. Amen. Glory to God. I got some things on my heart, and whenever I minister, I just said, you know what, I'll preach to myself and you all can listen in on it, because the word is as much for me as it is for everybody. And I've been entrusted to bring some things forward, and I trust it's going to be a good help to us. If you do have your Bibles, if you want to turn with me to John chapter 15, I just want to lay a little foundation here. Amen. And if you did receive the text from Pastor today, we are going to be talking about our will. And so we're going to dig into this a little bit, but I do want to lay some foundation here because this just seemed good to me. As I was meditating and even driving up, some of these verses just really stood out to me, and I feel that this is where we need to go. John chapter 15, starting right there in the first verse. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Let's stop right there for a second. So he's saying, I'm the vine, and he says, my Father is the husbandman or the pruner or the gardener in that. And he says, things that aren't bearing fruit, he says, I throw those right away. He says, but those that are bearing fruit, he says, I purge or I prune those things. Great. Thanks a lot. You know, the trials and tribulations sometimes in life, and all of a sudden I have someone coming at me with prunes. And I don't know about you, like we're getting into the harvest side, but you know, in the spring, right when the snow breaks, I watch people start pruning grapes and stuff. If you go down by the lake plain, we are down by the lake here. And I know if you head a little bit further north too, you get into Fredonia and you get into grape country and different things like that. So you understand that unless those plants or those bushes are pruned, there'll be a lack of showing the fruit that they were intended to show. And so he's saying, hey, if you're not showing any fruit, I'll cut you off and purge you, or cut you right off and set you aside. But even if you are bearing fruit, The Father says, I want to produce and cultivate that in you. So sometimes we look a little deformed. Sometimes we look a little cut off. Sometimes we look a little out of place and misshaped. Sometimes we've just been pruned and cut through life's circumstances, but there is a harvest day coming, and those things that are currently pruning you now are for a greater anticipated day in your future that you're going to start bearing fruit. So I don't despise the process sometimes of being trimmed down. And I feel like, man, I don't know up from down right now. I don't know if I'm going this way, if I'm going that way. All I know is I once was starting to just show signs of fruit and I've been pruned down. The Father knows exactly what He's doing in your life. And He sees the harvest at the end from the beginning. And He's begun the pruning process in you. We're not quitting. We're not giving up on that. How discomforting that may feel to us on our flesh sometimes, we have harvest that is being prepared on us. And it goes on to say, abide in me. Oh, it says in verse 3, now that you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather around and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So he's talking about abiding in the Father. That needs to be our place, that no matter the trial, no matter the pruning process, we're running to our Heavenly Father. We're pressing into Him, understanding that we can be entrusting fully to the one with the pruners. You may not understand what you're going through right now circumstantially, but know that if you press in God and abide in Him, fruit is the outcome. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. But he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You'll be worthless in the sense of no fruit. And so when we're going these things, don't let the pressure push you away from separating from the Heavenly Father, but run into Him. And I love this verse. One of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible is verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. The process is on His end. The pruning process is on His end. But He's glorified that you bear much fruit. Why? People need to see your fruit. People need to see your fruit. So my in-laws live in Forestville, and part of the farm, Grandpa Laketic, who is Pastor Michael Laketic, if you know our founding pastor, his father, that property is a part of my wife's family. On that property, he has grapes, he has berries, he has different things like that. He also has a number of trees. On these trees are different types of fruit. So I look at the one tree and I said, you know what? That's an apple tree right there. Why? Because I see the fruit on it. I go to another tree and he does, and this year especially, the pears are loaded on his tree. And I look at that, I said, there's a pear tree. I go to another one and he has a peach tree. He also has one that has, I think it's currants on there. And so I can identify the tree by the fruit. And I'm telling you that people need to identify God by your fruit. There's no question by looking at the fruit. I don't pick an apple off a tree and be like, well, this is a peach tree. No, that's an apple tree. Why? Because you picked an apple from that. And it says, herein is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Why? Because you're His billboard here on this earth of the love and kindness and compassion that these people need here on earth. And He needs you to be fruitful so that He can have His free course here on this earth and that you are His representative. He says, herein is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Why? Because he needs you. Well, God can be glorified apart from me. No, he can't. God is sovereign, yes. But God has put you here on this earth and given you dominion, given you power, and given you authority. And Jesus says it is important that you bear fruit. Why? So that you can glorify and bring glory back to the Heavenly Father. It's important that you bear fruit here on earth so you don't look like everybody else, heathen, on this earth that's going through it right now and failing. There needs to be a beacon of light here on earth. There needs to be someone walking in victory here on earth. There's someone that needs to be walking in peace and stability in this unstable economy and world right now so that people turn from the things of darkness and turn into the light of the gospel. In other words, I don't know how you're as stable as you are. I don't know how you're as calm as you are. I don't know how you're as peaceful as you are. I don't know how you're doing all these things, but I see something on you that I don't have. And whatever it is that you have, I know that I need that. That's the fruit of God. That's the fruit of God. And when people recognize the fruit that is on your life, God is glorified and receives praise. Being the fact that someone saw you and recognized God on your life, the Heavenly Father says back, yes, 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 these are my children. This is what I have for them. That much fruit abounding to their account, yes, that is me on them. And I need them walking, showing that fruit so that others would see that fruit and be blessed by it. I love those verses. We're going to be talking a little bit today. And I want to know that, hey, we're here to bear much fruit. We're here to be beacons of light. But there's some things that I want to share with you in specific about that. But how many know that, hey, faith is what pleases God? Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How many know that this life requires faith? In other words, you couldn't even be born again without faith. By grace you're saved through faith. That is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So your salvation itself comes through the channel of faith. But that's okay. That's okay. That's how we're here to operate here on earth, is through the channel of faith. But how many know that every single promise of God to be manifested in your life requires your faith? Why? Because if God just sovereignly wanted this for everyone, we would all be born again. We'd all be in heaven right now. But there's one thing that stands in the way, the human will. Even your flesh requires your faith. Every day you got to deal with your body and your flesh. We know in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, I wish solely that your body, soul, and spirit would be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. We're three-part beings. We're spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is what's born again. You know, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is 100% correct and fixed. You will never add to your spirit, glory to God. That's the one part of your triplex being that is 100% God. Now, your soul is your mind, intellect, will, and emotions. And your body is governed by your five senses. In other words, every time you look in the mirror, that is your body and your flesh, what you see when you look in the mirror. And so, I'll tell you, with that one perfect part is our spirit, our soul, and our body need the attention. And our will, which is part of our soulish nature, is what needs to be put in check. But that's going to require your faith. And I want to talk about this. And just to bring it up, turn with me over there to Romans chapter 4. I want to share with you, remember Abraham, because there's laws of faith that you have to understand to establish the promises of God here on earth. And like I said, if it were up to God, they'd already be established. But he's requiring our participation. And if we're lacking in certain areas, it's not that these things have not been established through Jesus Christ. They have been established, but it requires our faith to be putting those things into place. So in other words, people are like, hey, when were you born again? Well, I was born again August 24th, 2024, which is today's date. It's like, okay, yes and no. People are like, well, I was born August 24th, 2024? Well, actually, you came to a knowledge of what was already in place 2,000 years ago. Salvation was made available 2,000 years ago through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You came to a knowledge of it August 24th, 2024, but that was already in place. So you have to access what's already in place by your faith. So Abraham was called the father of many nations. He was 100 years old by the time he finally had Isaac. But I like what it says in the Amplified here in Romans 4:17. It says, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existing things that he has foretold and promised as if they were already existed." I like that. He speaks those things that be not as though they were. That's how faith operates. Faith operates by you putting the word of God in your mouth and confessing the word of God and releasing your faith. And it says in verse 18, "For Abraham, human reason for hope being God, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be." I like that. Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, it says that he hoped in faith. Now that word hope doesn't mean how we see that word hope. Hope as we see it, it's like, well, it may happen or it may not happen. I sure hope it happens. That word hope there means expected. It said that Abraham had to expect in faith. In other words, it didn't come naturally to him because it says human reason for hope being gone. Why? Dude is ancient. There's no drug today, 100 years old, to make a man have a kid. You know, so that was eliminated. Even Abraham at his age, hope, human reasoning was gone and eliminated. So he had to expect in faith. He had to expect what God was saying by faith. God, the one who calls those things that be not as though they were. It's the same law of faith that we operate concerning the promises of God. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God said, "Let there be land. Let there be the firmament. Let there be these things." Why? Because he's not exempt from his own system of faith that he put in place. So Abraham spoke those things that be not as though they were. That's why his name was changed to Abraham. And he had to hope or expect in faith. He had to do these things to believe for that promised child by faith. He wasn't exempt from this law of faith. And so even us, with our promises of God, we have to release our faith on a daily basis. We have to release our faith concerning our flesh, you know, putting our flesh down, not to worry, not to have anxiety, not to be bitter-hearted, bitter towards people. We got to use our faith on a daily basis for our prosperity, for our finances, for the health in our body. We need to release our faith concerning those things. We're not exempt from these things. This is God's system that he has put in place. And so I want to talk to you about one thing that's going to require our faith. And I love this, and I'm just going to bring this up for the sake of time, Isaiah 1:19. And I've already spoken, and I want to dive into our will. Our will. Because our will determines the outcome of what God can do on this earth. Well, why do you say that? Because there's many lost, dying, and going to hell right now. There's many lost and dying and going to hell right now because they have a different will than the will of the Father. Well, same thing concerning the life of the believer. If we're not willing and establish or connected our will with the Father's, there's going to be some hindrances in that. And I want to take a look at this. I'm just going to bring up for the sake of time Isaiah 1:19. If you'll bring that up, it says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Man, I'll tell you what, that sounds pretty good to eat the good of the land. I don't know about you, but I want to eat the good of the land. I want to walk in the fullness of everything that the Lord has for me. That sounds real good. But it says, but if you be willing and obedient. Oh, come on now. I remember a story one time with Kenneth E. Hagin. We call him Brother Hagin. You know, he was a great man of God. He's since been home to be with the Lord. But Kenneth E. Hagin, the Lord brought this verse here right now. He actually brought this before the Lord because he was in a position where he was believing God, walking with God in the early part of his ministry. And here he had two kids, and they were on barely get along street. I mean, they had nothing. They had to believe God for everything, for the clothes on. I mean, even his car, there's stories where four ball tires barely making it down the road. We've all had testimonies like that. I'll tell you what, we all have testimonies where we're on barely get along street. And so he went before the Lord and he said, Scripture says in Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He's like, I'm in ministry for you. I'm traveling for you. I'm preaching the word. I'm giving the gospel. You know, like, there's no one more willing and obedient than I am. Well, the Lord corrected him on that. And he says, you're obedient, but you're not willing. Wow. You're obedient, but you're not willing. And he says, hey, it didn't take me long to be willing. But wait a second. Let's get the lesson here. Because the Lord said, you're obedient, but you're not willing. Many Christians in the body of Christ are obedient, but they're not necessarily willing. They've not necessarily lined their will up with the Heavenly Father. My kids, I have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they're good kids. And we don't have problems to this extent. But sometimes you can understand those that have had kids growing up. Hey, I need you to go upstairs and clean your room. Fine. They were obedient, but they were not willing. And in the body of Christ, there's an obedience to be at the house of the Lord, but not a willingness. I'll tell you what, honestly, on my flesh, to drive on a Saturday evening in this beautiful weather, my family has another obligation right now to go at a friend's birthday party, to drive an hour from Jamestown to come here to minister. I'm obedient to do that, but I had to put my willingness at check. Sometimes, concerning nursery workers, you're obedient to be here and be faithful in nursery, but you're not necessarily willing. You don't want to. You don't want to be here. I want to be obedient to what the Lord says, but I'm not. My willingness to want to do it is not lined up. I'd rather be doing other things. I'm obedient. And the Father says, if you're willing and obedient. In other words, if you made the adjustment on the side of your will and your obedience, you'll see that you'll walk into the good of the land. And so this is an important thing that I want to address and look at here. That word will, if you look it up in the Greek, in the Hebrew, there's it just says see appendix. In other words, there's different things. It's not like I will, like I consent to do this. But if you look up that word, just even to an understanding aspect, just in a dictionary or something like that, will, the faculty by which a person decides on and initiates action. The faculty by which a person decides on and initiates action. Another rendering would be control deliberately exerted to do something or restrain one's own impulses. Control deliberately exerted to do something or to restrain one's own impulses. A deliberate or fixed desire or intention. A deliberate or fixed desire or intention. coming to that point where the desire initiates the action. That you're not rattled by the stimulus of this world to eliminate connecting your will to the Heavenly Father's. I mean, you remember Jesus was our ultimate example through the Bible. And the reason why we're going to talk about this is because there's many people that are trying to do things for God, but for some reason are falling short. And this is what really what stuck out to me, because people are trying to will to break this addiction. They're trying to will to have a good attitude. They're trying to will not to smack a coworker. They're trying to will to do all these things, and they're coming up short in doing that. And it seems like again and again and again and again, I've been trying to do it. I've been praying. I've been reading. I've been trying to pump myself up, and I keep falling into the same addiction time and time and time again. Whether it's addiction, smoking, vaping, drinking, porn, any of these things, I've been trying to break this addiction and break this addiction and break this addiction. And it seems like Paul said, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And those things that I don't want to do is what I do continuously. And I'm trying to break this addiction in this cycle. And we're going to talk about this. Jesus, you remember, Jesus was seasoned and he had a will. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I hear the Father, or see, do what I see the Father do. He was seasoned in practicing the Father's will. So you remember by the time that he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. But he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done. I don't want to do this in the flesh naturally. I am freaking right now. But since Jesus has been skillful in establishing the will through the fellowship of the Father to say what he hears the Father saying, to do what he sees the Father doing, since he's become skillful in that, it became an easy thing in his greatest trial of temptation to bail from the crucifixion. He said, Father, nevertheless, I recognize your will on the inside of me. And I'm going to move according to the greater will that is on the inside of me. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you this. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. This is everything that I've been summing up. Everything that I've been laying foundation is to tell you this, these verses right here, right now. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading. I like the Amplified, and if you have the King James or whatever, I have that too. But just for the sake of clarity, I want to bring this up in the Amplified in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Listen to what Paul has to say. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of God. So he says, work out your own salvation with that fear and that trembling. In other words, this is going to require something from you. You want more of God in your life, there is a cost. This is going to require something. He says, it's easy in my presence to do this, but he says, now much more in my absence. In other words, now when you're not in a church setting, now when you're not have the man of God preaching to you and you're absorbing everything that the Word of God has and you're in the corporate anointing and it makes it easy. No, we're talking where the rubber meets the road out there in everyday life. He says, now this is going to require something of you. He goes on to say in verse 13, listen to what he says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and sanctification and delight, our satisfaction and delight. I love how it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Not according to your own strength, but he says it is God who is working in you to will and to do. So in other words, the same healing power that would be working in your body, the same peace and grace that are working in your body, the same thing concerning his will. You have to give voice through the law of faith that God, your will is alive and working on the inside of me. He says, because this is not according to your human strength. In other words, you can't do this apart from God. You can't do this in your own merit and your strength. You have to acknowledge what's already on the inside of you and by your faith words, bring that out of you. It's the same thing concerning any other promise of God. Healing. Healing power is made available, but you need to make that power available by saying you receive your healing and you say the power of God is working on the inside of me. You need to release your faith to the greater one that's already on the inside of you. And it's the same thing concerning his will. He's put his will on the inside to will and to do of his good pleasure, but it's going to require your faith to activate that will on the inside of you. Once that will starts to surface, all the addictions, all the problems, all the things that are contrary to those that will begin to fall off you. Because it's not in your own strength. You have to give voice to the greater one on the inside of you that will begins to manifest. Jesus, when he addressed the disciples, he says, I do what I see the Father do and I say what I hear the Father say. He's like, this is a continuous habit on the inside of me that I'm acknowledging the greater one on the inside of me. And so when he showed up to the Garden of Gethsemane, he's like, Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this, but I recognize the will that is on the inside of me that you placed on the inside of me and your purpose and your plan. And because I give voice to that purpose and plan, I will see this through to the end. And it's the same thing in our lives. Why am I doing this? Why this addiction? Why can I not overcome these things? Give voice and power to the greater one on the inside of you. Say, Father, it's not my will, but yours be done. And the will to do and to will of your good pleasures on the inside of me. So I speak to the will of God that is on the inside of me. And I say, will, the Father's will, you rise up on the inside of me. I recognize that God's will is on the inside of me. And I'm speaking by faith that that will comes forth. I am not addicted to drugs. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not addicted to the things of this world. Because the greater one I'm recognizing is on the inside of me. And by faith, I'm bringing that out of me. So that everything that is contradicting the will of God begins to fall off. And so that's what he says, to will and to do of my good pleasure. Why? Verse 14, this is what he says in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. That's what we're all doing now. Hey, God, I should be further along than I am. Don't you know that I'm a tither and a giver? Where's mine? You know how long I've been sick with this? I know the healing belongs to me. Where is it? Where is it? It should be in place by now. Why does everybody else get it and I don't? Why did so-and-so get breakthrough and I don't? Complaining, fault-finding. It's against or contrary to the will of God. But you need the will of God to bear fruit. You need the will of God on the inside of you to come forward, to overcome those addictions, not in your own human strength. If you're going to apply effort to your faith to bring out what's already inside of you. Bring that out. Bring that out. He hasn't set you up for failure, but it's going to require your effort of faith to bring out the manifestation. And when you acknowledge the greater will, you become a liking to the greater one on the inside of you and greater that will. Why do we do this? Verse 15. that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. He says, you're doing this so that the will of God can be manifested, that you would shine as a beacon in this dark world. Why? That the Father would be glorified, that you're bearing much fruit. Well, man, I thought that I had to get all my ducks in a line. I had to do this. None of us are perfect. I'm saying release your faith in His will. And when you start recognizing His will is coming forth, you start delighting and encompassing yourself with His will, that these addictions start to fall off you. The contamination starts to fall off you. The faults start to fall off you. That's why I say, so you would be not perverted. You would be faultless. You would be blameless. He's saying, don't argue about these things. Let the will of God to do and to will of His good pleasure come out the outside of you, that these things would start falling off you, that you would be recognizable in this corrupt generation. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that ultimately they need to see the will of God and God's perfect will in your lives. If you're not walking in God's highest best, hey, we're all in the process of our faith. We're all in the process of coming to this point where we can start bearing fruit. I'm not neglecting that there is a process of that. There is. But that's why I say people need to see the fruit of your on your life. They need to see that there's a God on the inside of you and that you're faultless and blameless, because everything else in this world is contamination. And they need to see a difference in your life. Show them. Show them. Release your faith in God's perfect will in your life. Apply your effort that you would start recognizing it. Jesus recognized it. That's why he says, I say what I hear the Father say. I do what I hear the Father. He recognized the will of God more so than the problems, the temptation. And when something contradicted the will of God, he addressed it. He healed. He cast out demons. He set people free. Just like that woman with the issue of blood, virtue left him. Why? That's God's will. And he was walking manifest, not in his own will, but God's will. He had lived a life of that. So when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, I recognize what to do in this most critical hour in my life right now. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be, your will be done. My whole existence in these 3 years of ministry, I've known what it's like to walk in your will. I've seen the dead raise. I've seen people healed. I've seen the miraculous when I've operated in the Father's will. So he recognized, hey, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I recognize your will. And when you start recognizing the Father's will, the temptation, the trials, the tribulation, the addictions will begin to fall off. They'll begin to fall off. He says, not by your own strength. I tried everything. Tried every self-help group. Tried the 12 steps to whatever. Hey, I'm not dismissing those things. But as a born-again believer, you have the Father's will deposited on the inside of you. That's your secret weapon. That's your secret weapon. We are different than them. We have the Father's will on the inside of us. You give voice to what you have, and you watch. You watch. You start lining up with those things on the inside of you. We got a generation and a people to reach right now. Ultimately, that you shine as lights or beacons in this dark world. They need to see the Father's will. They won't see it apart from someone taking their responsibility to walking in God's will. Well, no, it just affects me. No, it does not. If you don't tell them, who will? Someone that pays the price to walk in God's highest and best according to His will. He put you here and given you a full supply of equipment on the inside of you to change this world. Hey, let me preach to myself. I'm no exemption. I'm here too. I have this responsibility. I'm held to a higher standard because I'm ministering these things. I have to stand up to this. I got flesh just like everybody else. Whether you're doing drugs, smoking, drinking, whatever, or you're worrying, anxiety, fear, whatever, hey, we're all in this same boat. We all got to work in this. Not according to my own strength, but releasing my faith, Father, there's a greater will on the inside of me. And Father, I'm giving this will of yours place. I'm going to release my faith. All these addictions and stuff will start falling off. All my imperfections, faults will start falling off when you start recognizing his will in that movement on the inside of you. Press into God. Get his highest will. The willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. A lot of people obey, not willing. The human will. People are comfortable. They don't want to do anything. Get over those things. Dig deep into that greater one and his perfect will on the inside of you. Become familiarized with that. Allow that strength of God and his will to for you in a position of yielding to that thing. Jesus recognized that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He already knew. He was already well-versed with the will of God. He was a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. He already knew. This is God's will that when I set foot on planet Earth, I will die. He recognized God's will and says, everything in me is going to be geared and fashioned towards his will that I already recognize in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't want to do this. I've arrived to this point. I don't want to do this. He says, nevertheless, I've recognized this will all this time up until this point. Your will be done. The strength of your will see me through to the other side of this. The strength of your will and me recognizing it is what will put me over through this. Recognizing this will that you established before the foundations of the earth, me recognizing that is what will strengthen me to go through this trial and tribulation right now. That is more big and large on the inside of me than my own hurts and pains right now. That's where we need to be. Father, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Release your faith. Father, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Your will is working on the inside of me. Therefore, I choose to act according to your will that you placed in. I'm not a druggie. I'm not a drunk. I'm not a worry wart. I'm not full of anxiety. Those things come at all of us constantly. There's a greater will on the inside of you. Become acquainted and recognize the greater will of the Father so you can shine as a beacon to those that don't know that will. You do that. I don't know if you were helped here tonight, but praise the Lord. The word is good. I'm telling you, his strength, his ability is on the inside of you. I've tried every arm of the flesh to get over in areas. He says, not according to human strength. You can't climb enough mountains, swim enough seas, cross enough valleys to get you to the other side of where you need to be. You need to recognize his will. That's what will see you through. I'm telling you, we're all busy till Jesus comes, recognizing his will. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. You're so good that, Father, we purpose to will and to do of your good pleasure. That, Father, the effort applied is by faith acknowledging your will on the inside of us. That, Father, we recognize that there's a lost and dying people out there that need fruit, that need to see God's people standing up in your will, that they, the lost people, know that it's your will to love, that it's your will to be compassionate, that it's your will to give, that it's your will to heal, that it's your will to love on people. There are so many misconstrued ideas, Father, of who you are. And Father, let us stand in a position where we can be beacons of light. That, Father, you would reveal that greater will on the inside of us that would be the compelling force to reach these people. We give you the praise and the glory for it. with all heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. I never want to minister the Word of God without giving an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I certainly don't know everybody here tonight. But maybe you're here today, you hear a message like this, and you think, God's will. Well, I just need to get into God's will and to know what that is. Well, I'll tell you, the first step to having the will of God revealed to you is by being what the Bible calls born again, by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Over there in Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from being separated from God in a place called hell. Hell is a real place, whether people believe it or not. It is a very real place. God never intended for anyone to go to hell. That's why he sent Jesus to die, so that we wouldn't be separated from him. People have approached me before and they've said, well, if God loves us, why is he sending people to hell? God sends no one to hell. The truth of the matter is people are already going to hell. He sent Jesus so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. So I'm going to give us an opportunity that if you're here tonight, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Dear Lord, be sure that you're going to heaven. Be sure that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you were to die tonight or pass from this earth, do you know for sure that you'd be going to heaven? And if the answer is like, I sure hope so, I'm telling you, you can be sure here tonight by accepting Jesus as your Lord. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, if there's anyone here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And we're going to all pray here together in this congregation. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to talk to you or give you a microphone, anything like that. But if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Is there anybody here that needs to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Can I see your hand? Is there anybody here that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life? Father, I don't see any hands here, but Father, I just trust we're all family, born again. Father, we're here to glorify you tonight. We thank you for your word, but Father, we thank you for your perfect will on the inside of us, that Father, we can willing to do of your good pleasure, that Father, we could bear fruit and shine as lights in this dark world, that you would be glorified, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How about before we dismiss, how about we all go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just love on him for a minute before we dismiss here tonight. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We leave changed. Father, we leave blessed here tonight. We leave doers of your word, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.